नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिनि नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शादि गौरव भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। So thank you all very much for joining today's session. We have been discussing from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, second chapter. We have been discussing the commentary of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So in that, we have been discussing the theme of Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi Yoga includes, as we saw, both Nishkama Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. And in that series of verses, we saw that Krishna says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna Nirdvandvo Nitvasatvasto Nidyoga Kshema Matmavan, where essentially he says, do not get caught up with all these karma sections of the Vedas. Transcend these Vedas, which talk essentially about subject matter within the three modes, transcend it and take up service. And then we had an elaborate discussion about how only practice of pure devotional service is beyond the three modes, and all the other practice are within the three modes. So we discussed this, right? And then we discussed the in the next verse, he said, Yavan Artha. Sorry, not this verse. So then in the next verse, Krishna says that Yavan Artha Udapane Sarvataha Samplutodake Tava Sarveshu Vedeshu Brahmanasya Vijanataha. So he says that as all the purposes which are fulfilled by the small wells, of which some are used for bathing, some for washing, some for cleaning and so on, all of that is fulfilled by one large reservoir of water, like a lake or a river. Similarly, all the purposes, which are all the goals or desires of, even if someone may have desire for bhukti, mukti, siddhi, everything, all those desires can be fulfilled by one who worships the Supreme Lord. Yat karma bir yat tapasa jnana vairagya tascheyat yogena dana dharmena shreyo bir itarairapi sarvam madbhakti yogena madbhakta labate anjasa swarga apavarga maddama katanchidya divanchati. So Krishna tells in Uddhava Gita, in 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that whatever one can achieve by the process of, one can achieve by the process of karma, jnana, yoga, etc., all of that can be achieved by my devotee just by devotional service. So which means, even if one may have anya bilasha, then the easiest way of fulfilling that anya bilasha is by performing jnana madhi anavrita bhakti, which means performing Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyamatma Nivedanam. By performing that, one can achieve all of that which one can achieve by the process of karma, jnana, yoga, etc. Which means, if it is just a problem with your abhilasha, you don't want Krishna Prem, but you want material desires, even for that, the best way of achieving it is by placing that bhakti which is not covered by karma, jnana, yoga, etc. That is what he is indicating here by this verse. Yavan artha udapane sarvataha samplutodake tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanataha. But Arjuna, now at this juncture of Bhagavad Gita, you are a nishkama karma yogi. That's what he says. Karmanyeva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phalahetur bur mate sangostu karmani. At this point, I wish to instruct through you those who are qualified for Nishkama Karma Yoga. ఐ వాంట్ టు ఇన్స్ట్రక్ట్ అబౌట్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ త్రూ యూ. సో యూ టేక్ ది సో యూ టేక్ ది అధికార్ ఆఫ్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ, అండ్ బై గివింగ్ యూ ది అధికార్ ఆఫ్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ ఐ విల్ టీచ్ అదర్స్ అబౌట్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ. సో హీ సేస్ కర్మేవాధికారస్తే యువర్ క్వాలిఫికేషన్ ఇస్ టు పర్ఫార్మ్ యువర్ వర్ణాశ్రమ డ్యూటీ మా ఫలేషు కదాచన్, బట్ డోంట్ ఆస్పైర్ ఫర్ ద లోవర్ ఫ్రూట్స్ ఫర్ ద మెటీరియల్ రిజల్ట్స్ దట్ వన్ కెన్ అచీవ్ బై ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ కర్మయోగ. యు నో బై ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ కర్మయోగ యు కెన్ గెయిన్ పయటీ, అండ్ బై దట్ పయటీ యు కెన్ ఎంజాయ్ ఇన్ స్వర్గ, యు కెన్ ఎంజాయ్ మెటీరియల్ బెనిఫిట్స్ within this bhuloka, everything, but don't get attached to this lower fruits, because by that same practice of varnashram duties you can attain liberation from this material world only. So when he says ma phaleshu kadachana, don't get attached to the fruits, talking about the fruits of the lower fruits of material enjoyment. Ma karma phala hetur bhur, do not be the cause of the results of work. Mate sangosto karmani, and don't be attached to not doing work, or don't be attached to performing sinful activity. Okay, so like that he says. And then we saw in the 48th verse he says yogastha kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dhananjaya siddhi asiddayoho samo bhutva samatvam yoga uchyate. So yogastha kuru karmani, by being situated in nishkama karma yoga, if you perform your duties of varnashram duties, sangam taktva, without attachment to the lower fruits, material fruits, o Arjuna, siddhi asiddayoho samobhutva, even though initially when you are qualified for sakama karma, I told you that hatova prapsasi swargam jitva va bhokshase mahim. My dear Arjuna, if you fight and you get to enjoy the kingdom, if you fight and lose, you will get to go to Swarga and enjoy. Therefore, you fight. But now I am telling you, that is not a very high level of performing your duty. The higher level of performing your duty is to perform Nishkama Karma Yoga without being attached to these lower fruits. Siddhi Asiddhayoho Samobhutva, and being equal to success and failure. Samatvam yoga uchyate, such equal mindedness is called yoga. So therefore he says, with this verse Krishna starts teaching how one practices nishkama karma yoga. How do you practice nishkama karma yoga? So by being detached from the material fruits, learn to see victory and defeat as equal. Right, so which means in nishkama karma yoga, it is like telling, don't bother to see whether it is a old 100 rupees note or new 100 rupees note. Okay, you are not collecting new notes, you want to purchase something out of it. Don't get attached to new notes or old notes. Whether it is new or old, that 100 rupees note has a value of purchasing something very valuable. So don't waste your time haggling with people who give you an old 100 rupee note. Don't fight with them. Waste your time with them asking for a new note. New note or old note has the same value. So therefore, victory or defeat, you will have to stay in this distress. Don't get over this victory or defeat mentality. Learn to perform your prescribed duties for the higher goal of liberation. Okay, that's what he's telling here. So when varnashram is practiced with detachment, it leads to purification of heart. And when the heart becomes purified, then one becomes qualified to practice Jnana Yoga, at which stage one can meditate on the Brahman. So, like that. So, Jnana Yoga should be understood. Okay. This is where we ended our discussion last week. So, before we start today's discussion, where Krishna is going to take this discussion on Nishkama Karma Yoga a little further, any quick comments, discussion points, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Okay. If there is none, then we'll continue our discussion on Nishkama Karma Yoga. So, Krishna continues. He says, Durena hi avaram karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya buddhau sharanam anvicha krupanaha falahetavaha. So he says, O Dhananjaya, O Arjuna, avaram karma durena hi. Please keep these inferior actions far away. What Krishna means is, please keep this falahetava karma. Actions which you perform to enjoy the meager material pleasures, keep that material far away. Okay. How? Buddhi yoga. Buddhi yoga means by Nishkama Karma Yoga. By performing that same karma for the higher goal of liberation, keep this inferior karma of performing karma for the pleasure of for getting some material pleasures, keep this far away. Buddhau sharanam anvicha. Surrender to this buddhi yoga or nishkama karma yoga. Krupanaha falahetavaha. Those who seek material results for their karma are krupana. They are miserly people. Okay. So, while who are miserly people? Miserly people are those who can purchase higher facilities using their money and enjoy higher ailments, but they wish to enjoy the pleasure of seeing that money locked in their locker. Okay. That is a kripana. Okay, when that same money can purchase some facility for you, some pleasure for you, some food for you, but you wish to starve and suffer so that you can take the pleasure of seeing that money being locked inside your locker. There is a higher utility for that money, but you don't wish to utilize it for that. This is a kripana. Similarly, here Krishna is telling, O Arjuna, you can purchase liberation. Varnashram duties. Why you want to perform the same Varnashram duties and purchase some punya and rot in this material world? Therefore, buddhau sharanam anvicha. Please take shelter of this Nishkama Karma Yoga. And Kripanaha Falahetava. Understand that Falahetava, one who wants to enjoy the meager pleasures that come out of performing his Varnashram duties, are actually Kripana. He is just a miser. Okay. So, here, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, Krishna here criticizes karma done with material desires, that is Sakama Karma. The actions done with material desire are far inferior to Nishkama Karma Yoga offered to the Supreme Lord, Buddhi Yoga. Therefore, take shelter of Nishkama Karma Yoga. In this verse, Buddhi Yoga refers to Nishkama Karma Yoga rather than Bhakti Yoga. Right. So, he is basically teaching him about Nishkama Karma Yoga. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions, anything anyone would like to ask? Yes, Vahini Mataji.
हरे कृष्णा. सो प्रभु जी, दैट न्यू 100 रुपीज नोट एंड ओल्ड 100 रुपीज नोट, हाउ डज दैट ट्रांसलेट टू विक्ट्री एंड डिफीट, इफ यू कुड एक्सप्लेन टू मी अगेन, बिकॉज आई डिडंट अंडरस्टैंड दैट बिट.
What Krishna is telling is, initially, Krishna was telling Arjuna that if you fight, you can win. If you win, you will get kingdom. If you lose, you will get swarga. So victory, defeat, he was speaking on that platform. But now that he has elevated Arjuna to a higher platform, he is telling victory or defeat doesn't matter. Whether victory or defeat, you can achieve liberation. Why get attached to victory defeat? But by getting attached to victory or defeat, you can at the most go to Swarga only.
Oh.
So that is like telling, victory is like getting a new 100 rupee note. Defeat is like getting an old 100 rupee note. While you can purchase something much more valuable than paper using a 100 rupee note, why waste time fighting with people? Give me a new 100 rupee note, not an old 100 rupee note like that. So that is the platform of victory and defeat.
Okay.
Victory and defeat both will keep you in this material world. So
Right.
don't get stuck up with that. So he's basically trying to elevate the quality of conversations that he wants Arjuna to have. Come on, don't get stuck up here. This is not a worthy conversation to have. You have much better potential. Don't get stuck up with this victory defeat thing. That's what he's indicating here.
Okay. Yeah, got it. Thank you.
Great. Anything else anyone would like to share, ask, add? Okay. Let's continue then. Krishna is speaking about Nishkama Karma Yoga, instructing about Nishkama Karma Yoga to Arjuna. So he continues. Buddhi yukto jahatiha ube sukrita duskrite tasmad yogaya yujyasva yogaha karmasu kaushalam. He says, buddhi yukto, if you engage in this buddhi yoga of Nishkama Yoga, jahati iha, that person destroys. By performance of Nishkama Karma Yoga, one destroys ube, both sukrita duskrite, both piety and impiety. By performance of Nishkama Karma Yoga, one destroys both piety and impiety. Tasma, therefore, yogaya yujyasva, please engage in this yoga. Yoga means here Nishkama Karma Yoga. Karmasu, of all types of action, yoga kaushalam. This performance without attachment is skill. Kaushalam, it is skill. It is a skill that you need to acquire. Skill means what? Not to get attached to the lower fruits, but still perform the same action with diligence. Okay. So, therefore, we need to understand this. Okay. I think we did discuss this before some, or maybe it was a different forum. I don't recollect. So, I don't know if this space will be sufficient for me. Let me see. Okay. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. So, okay. First is a Sakama Karma Yogi. Next is a Nishkama Karma Yogi. And next is a Jnana Yogi, Ashtanga Yogi, and Bhakti Yogi. Okay. Okay. A Sakama Karma Yogi performs Varnashram duty for gaining piety. Okay. And an Ishkama Karma Yogi performs Varnashram duties for destroying piety and impiety, both. Same activity. When performed with attachment, delivers piety. When performed with detachment, destroys piety and impiety. Because with both piety and impiety, we have to come back to this material world and suffer. A Jnana Yogi does not perform Varnashram duties because a Jnana Yogi's heart is already purified. And the purpose of performing Varnashram duties is to purify the heart. So a Jnana Yogi need not perform Varnashram duties. Yastu atmaratirevasyad atmatuptascha manava atmanyeva hi santushto tasya karyam na vidyate. For such a person, there is no karya. An Ashtanga Yogi, in the initial stages, he performs Varnashram duties for purification of heart. But when the heart becomes purified, he also gives up. Aru rukshor muner yogam karma karanam uchyate. Yoga rudasya tasyeva shamak karanam uchyate. Bhagavad Gita says. So, an Ashtanga Yogi, in the early stages, which is called as the Yoga Rurukshu stage, he performs his Varnashram duties for purifying the heart. But once the heart becomes purified, then he has to constantly focus on meditating on the Paramatma within the heart. For that, he needs to give up his Varnashram duties and just focus on meditating on the Paramatma. Okay. So, while a Sakama Karma Yogi performs Varnashram duties for gaining piety so that he can enjoy, a Nishkama Karma Yogi performs Varnashram duties for destroying piety and impiety, a Jnana Yogi does not perform, or sometimes he may perform to set the right example for others. Okay. Lokasangraha mevapi sampashyan kartum arhasi, Krishna says. A Bhakti Yogi also, for his spiritual progress, he need not perform. But for setting the right example, for those who may not have qualification for bhakti, he may perform. Okay. And by non-performance of Varnashram duty, what happens? Non-performance. Okay. By non-performance of Varnashram duty, I think we don't need the third, I think. When a Sakama Karma Yogi does not perform Varnashram duties, what does he gain? Sin. When a Nishkama Karma Yogi does not perform Varnashram duties, what does he gain? When a Jnana Yogi does not perform Varnashram duty, what does he gain? What does he lose? Nothing. When an Ashtanga Yogi gives up Varnashram duty, what does he lose? Nothing. When a Bhakti Yogi does not perform Varnashram duty, what does he lose? Nothing. Now, when I talk about Varnashram duties, what it means is performing those activities in the mood of dharma adharma. But when you perform, some of the activities may be favorable for bhakti. Like say, for example, taking bath. So taking bath is a Varnashram duty. But that does not mean, just because Varnashram duty does not mean a devotee does not do. Okay. So, a devotee may perform Varnashram, may take bath, not because it is an act of dharma according to his Varna and Ashrama, but he does it because taking bath, it keeps the gross body disease free and it keeps the mind very anxiety free and clear, both of which are favorable for progressing on the path of bhakti. So for that purpose, he he performs, he takes bath, even though, so not the activity defines whether it is a varnashram activity or a devotional activity. It is with the mood with which it is performed, right? So a varnashram activity or a bhakti activity. Varnashram activity is performed in the mood of dharmasya sankalpo, adharmasya varjanam. Whereas a devotional activity is performed in the mood of anukulyasya sankalpo, pratikulyasya varjanam. Okay. So it is the, and basically there could be activities which might fall within the realm of varnashram and bhakti. So it is not the activity which defines whether there is a varnashram activity or a devotional activity. So for example, a mother may take care of her child because it is, you can say, it is the dharma of the mother or stri dharma to do that. But a devotee mother may take care of her child because she wants to give very nice devotion samskaras to the child so that he grows up to be a devotee. So taking care of the child is actually, is it varnashram dharma or is it devotional? It depends on in what mood one takes care of the child. So the activity in itself cannot be called as varnashram ati. It is with what mood an activity is performed. In fact, there could be certain activities which are performed, which can be either called as material activities or it can be bhakti. Or it can be varnashram. Okay. So, for example, what is a material activity? A material activity is when something is performed because ragasya sankalpo dveshasya varjanam. What I like, I will do, I will accept. What I don't like, I will reject. This is material activity. And varnashram activity is whatever is dharmic according to my varna and ashrama, I will accept. Whatever is adharmic, I will. And what is devotional activity? Whatever is favorable for my bhakti and whatever will please my guru and Krishna, I will accept. Rest all I will reject. Okay. So now there'll be activities which could fall within either of these categories. For example, if you see on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna on the battlefield, okay. And there is, pious kings like Bhurishravas and others, they fought on the battlefield. And then there is Ekalavya also fought. So now the action performed was the same action, fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Now, if you see, Ekalavya is fighting in the mood of it is not his dharma, right? It is not his dharma. He is not a kshatriya. It is not his dharma. And he is not fighting to please Krishna also. Okay. But he is fighting. Why? Because he likes to fight. So this is a material activity, even though he is fighting. Okay. So this is done on the platform of raga. On the same hand, someone, a pious king like Bhurishravas is fighting because it is his dharma. He is a kshatriya, he is fighting. But what about devotees like Arjuna? He is also fighting. Is he fighting just because he is a Kshatriya? No. He is fighting because Prabhupada always writes in Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna initially did not want to fight on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But after hearing the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna fought because Krishna wanted him to fight. Nowhere Prabhupada says Arjuna fought because he was a Kshatriya. So here is Arjuna fighting on the battlefield because he wanted to please Krishna. Even though the act formed is same by the three people, Bhurishravas, by the act of fighting, it is a Varnashram activity, he will gain piety. And Ekalavya is performing the same fighting on the battlefield, but by that fighting he will gain papa, sins. And Arjuna, who is performing the same activity of fighting on the battlefield, will progress on the path of bhakti. He will gain devotional credits. So it is not the activity itself which defines whether it is a material activity or a dharmic varnashram activity or a devotional activity. It is the activity is performed, the mood with which the activity is performed. So therefore, here Krishna is telling Arjuna that buddhi yukto jahatiha ube sukrita duskrite tasmad yogaya yujyasva yoga karma sukaushalam. My dear Arjuna, if you engage in performing these varnashram duties with detachment, which is nishkama karma yoga, then you will destroy both sukrita duskrita, both the pious results and impious results, which means you are getting ready for liberation. Because if you get either piety or impiety, you have to come back to the material world to enjoy it. But by performing your varnashram duty, you will destroy piety and impiety and get ready for liberation. Okay. Tasmad yogaya yujyasva yoga karma sukaushalam. Therefore, engage in this nishkama karma yoga, my dear Arjuna, because this kind of nishkama karma yoga is actually skillful work where you perform your work but not get entangled reactions of that work which will bind you to this material world. Right. So he says, therefore, be engaged in the yoga as described here. Yoga here refers to nishkama karma yoga. Among all actions done with or without desire, action performed with indifference to results is a skill. Because it's not very easy to be indifferent to victory or defeat. It's very difficult. It's not possible. I mean, it's very difficult. I won't say it's not possible, but it is very, very difficult. So try to perform nishkama karma like that. Any quick comments, questions, discussion points on this topic? Anything anyone would like to share as add? Okay. If there is no discussion points, I will move on to the next verse. 51st verse. Krishna further continues about Nishkama Karma Yoga. He says, Karmajam buddhi yuktahi phalam tyaktva manishinaha janma bandha vinirmuktaha padagacchantya namayam. So till now he has not spoken about what is the result of performing Nishkama Karma Yoga. For the first time he is going to tell it now. So he says that buddhi yuktahi, one who is engaged in this Nishkama Karma Yoga, karmajam phalam tyaktva, having given up the results of work, when one engages in Nishkama Yoga, Manishinaha, such a person is told to be an intelligent person. What happens to such a person? Janma Bandha Vinirmukta. He can become freed from the bondage of birth and death. Janma Bandha Vinirmukta. Anamayam Padam Gacchanti. Anamayam means where there is no disease or suffering. Amaya is suffering. Anamaya is disease. Anamaya is where there is no disease or no suffering. So, which is liberation. Okay. So he says that if you perform this Nishkama Karjuna, the result that you will get, escape the bondage of birth and death and attain the place where there is no suffering. That's all. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions here? No purport here. Okay. Oh, there is some. Yes, Shyamlal Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji.
So, Prabhuji, the activity does not decide whether it is by devotion or by sakam or nishkam, right? It is our, it is the mood in which we do it.
Correct.
Now, how do we know on an individual level that what I am doing is for the pleasure of my guru? So that activity is actually like Krishna. Arjun knew very clearly, I am fighting for Krishna. Krishna also knew very clearly that Arjun is fighting for me.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
On our individual levels, how do we know that what I am doing, like I am working in Bhakti in the hospital, I may tell people that, okay, look, I'm doing it for my spiritual master, I'm doing it for my guru and whatever. But how do we reconfirm this in our own hearts that whatever services we are doing it for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, and it's not for our own whatever, like the example of Eklavya, he was doing it for his own sense gratification.
Correct.
What is that? What is that?
Litmus test.
Correct. You said it. What is that litmus test?
Yeah. See, here, this is where we have to be careful. While we have to be honest, but at the same time, we have to learn to discriminate along with honesty. So honesty to ask ourselves, for what purpose I am doing. But with discrimination, that sometimes I may succumb to my selfish desires unwillingly. So like greed, like sometimes I may succumb to greed unwillingly. I mean, unwillingly in the sense, I know in the ultimate sense, it is not good for my spiritual life, but still we may get carried away by that greedy desire. So while giving time for anartha nivritti to happen, because we should not think that, okay, look, I could have easily managed my life with a lesser salary, but I pushed the management asking for a raise of salary. Which means I am a materialistic person. I am not a devotee, because that raise in salary was not exactly needed. I could have managed without raise of salary. So here I have for a raise of salary, which means I am a materialist. I am not a devotee. I mean, that's a very harsh stance, I would say, because while anartha nivritti is going on, it takes at some time for the influence of Rajogun and Tamogun to subside. At the stage of Nishtha only, it completely, almost completely subsides. Tada Rajas Tamo Bhava Kamalo Bhades Che Chete Terana Vidam Sitam Sukte Prasidati. So, while every moment we may not ask this question, but in the overall scheme of things, we may, in very choice that we chose to work in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, we chose to stay in a place where there are a lot of devotees. Our major life decisions were most likely taken with the consideration that it be favorable for my devotional practice. While every once in a while we may make choices being impelled by our conditionings, but at that time we have to be honest to ask ourselves, is it my conditioning or is it that I am actually, is it my anartha or abhilasha? We have to ask, am I succumbing to a lower mode or am I seriously desiring, thinking that it is actually, I actually want it? So that is where we need to be a little bit honest and at the same time a little bit discriminating, because if we are honest without discrimination, then we can cause a lot of self-harm to ourselves by being very cruel to ourselves. Because we should understand that the effect of the modes and the anarthas will be there for a significant duration of time till the into the modes goes down while in the stage of anartha navritti. So there needs to be the litmus test is actually honesty with proper discrimination as to knowing well when I am responding to the stimulus of my heart which I have given to Guru and Krishna, and when I am responding to the stimulus of conditioning in the form of lust, anger, greed, etc. So while when I understand that I am responding to greed, lust, etc., then we have to be honest to question ourselves, am I regretting or am I thinking that this is perfectly fine? So these are some conversations that we can have with ourselves to understand whether, and we are the best persons to answer. No one else can answer for us. Actually, we have to answer for ourselves. Is that relevant, Prabhu? I don't know.
Yes. I mean, these are things that keep going on in the heart, right? So, makes a lot of sense. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Anything else anyone would like to share as add? Okay, let's continue then. Next verse, Krishna says, at what stage you will become qualified for Nishkama Karma Yoga? So he says, Yadate Moha Kalilam Buddhir Vyatitarishyati Tada Gantasi Nirvedam Shrotavyasya Shrutasya. He says, Yada, when Te Buddhihi, your intellect, Vyatitarishyati, Tarishyati means given up, crossed. Vyatitarishyati means completely given up. When your intelligence has completely renounced Moha Kalilam, the denseness of dark ignorance. Of ignorance means here the ignorance refers to the Sakama Karma literatures. Okay. Which promise material goals. You do this, you will get this. You do this, you can go to Swarga. You do this, you can get a very nice child. You can get a male child like that. So all these are Sakama Karma literatures or Karmakandi literatures which suggest material goal, material benefits for performing these activities. Yada te buddhir moha kalilam vyatitarishyati. When your intelligence has completely renounced this denseness of ignorance, which is attachment to sakama karma literatures which promise material goals. Tada, at that point of time, dasi nirvedam. At that time, you will become indifferent. Shrotavyasya shrutasyacha. You will become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that will be heard concerning fruits of actions. You know, you do this, you'll go to Swarga. You do this, you will get Somaras, like that. You will become indifferent to all that. Which means, essentially, when you develop a higher taste for liberation, then you will give up all this lower taste. So he says, from the performance of the Supreme Lord, you will develop this neutrality. Okay. So, he says that result, intermediate result of Nishkama Karma Yoga is what? Neutrality. Okay. So he says neutrality. When your intelligence has passed particularly and completely the denseness of illusion, at that time you will become indifferent to all the subjects about which you will hear and have already heard. This you will achieve by the destruction of doubts and misconceptions through hearing instructions of scriptures from me. So which means you will understand that, Arjuna, do not get attracted to the lower middle results. You know, liberation is higher. By hearing all these things, you will overcome all these doubts and misconceptions. So then you will start thinking, at the present time, I must practice my sadhana continuously. So you will become attached to performing your duty and not get attached to the lower fruits like that. So that's what Krishna is telling here. So you perform this Nishkama Karma Yoga the way I am telling you without getting attached to the lower fruits. And very soon you will develop that neutrality, which will help you progress further. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions about this? Okay. I think today is a good day. We are covering a lot of portions today. Okay. Next, he says, Shruti vipratipannate yada stasyati nishtala samadav achala buddhi sada. Okay. So now he says, yada te buddhihi, when your intelligence, Shruti vipratipanna, is indifferent to the Vedas. Vedas means the karma part of the Vedas. Okay. And nishchala stasyati, and it was fixed. Samadav achala, and you are situated in samadhi, tada yogam avapsisi, then you will attain the status of being a jivan mukta, which means perfection of Nishkama Yoga or Jnana Yoga is to become a Jivan Mukta. And a Jivan Mukta, when he gives up his gross body, attains liberation. Okay, he says, when your intelligence is indifferent to the Vedas, to the karma part of the Vedas, because of being fixed and you are situated in samadhi, then you will attain the status of being a jivan mukta. So, here he says, samadav achala buddhi. Okay, achala means immovable. Buddhi means intelligence. Achala, other name of achala is sthita. Steady and moving. Another meaning of buddhi is pragya. So for achala buddhi translates as sthita pragya. So he says, and sthita pragya means a jivan mukta, a liberated person, a person who is liberated. Okay. So now, which means with discussion of samadhi, the topic now switches to jnana yoga. This will be made clear in the next chapter. So now this person is qualified for jnana yoga. He is ready to meditate on Brahman. That is sthita pragya, achala buddhi, jivan mukta, all of this is same. Okay. When your intelligence is no longer attracted to, oh, this is, I want to enjoy this, I want to enjoy that, or this is my dharma, karma, my varna, ashrama and all. Even when one transcends even that, then he is ready to meditate on the Brahman. So such a person is called as achala buddhi, sthita pragya, jivan mukta. He is now ready to meditate on the Brahman. He is qualified for jnana yoga now. So he says, at that time, you will become detached from hearing about all sorts of material and Vedic subjects because of being averse to the agitation created by these subjects. Because you don't want to be in this material world. So you don't want to hear about any of these things. And your intelligence will be fixed in samadhi, samadha achala, as described in the sixth chapter. At that time, by achieving direct realization, you will achieve yoga mavapsasi. So this is the benefit of practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga, by which one becomes qualified for Jnana Yoga, or he becomes a Jivan Mukta or a Sthita Pragya. Like that. This is what Krishna is telling here. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions here? Suvarna Mataji.
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam. Shyam Mohan Das.
Dhanvat Pranam. Yes, bro. Yes.
Prabhuji, this Jivan Mukta, this terminology features in the devotional line also. Matlab Bhakti Yogi will also become Jivan Mukta at some stage in his devotional career.
Well, yes, in one sense, you can use that terminology to indicate a person who is ready to go to the spiritual world after giving up his material body, which means when he reaches the stage of prema, you can call him a Jivan Mukta in one sense. Even though the terminology, we use other terminologies to indicate, because generally the word Jivan Mukta is used to indicate a person who is aspiring after Sayujya Mukti. So therefore, in devotional parlance, we don't generally use the terminology of Jivan Mukta, but there is you can say, yeah, when he reaches prema, then you can say, then when he gives up that body, he will go back home, back to Godhead. So you can sort of say, yeah, that's an equivalent of Jivan Mukta.
Okay, Prabhu, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay, there is something in the chat box. Oh, yeah. Yes, Hariyar Dasya, Karmana Manasagira, Nikilaswapi Avastha, so Jivan Mukta Sauchate. Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, this is one place where the word Jivan Mukta is used in devotional parlance, actually. Yeah, that's a very nice point. So, when Iha Yasya Hariyar Dasya, Iha means endeavor or action. When anyone's endeavor or action is Harer Dasya, is in the mood of being a servant of Krishna, and as an act of service to Krishna, Karmana Manasagira, whether the action through physical actions, mental actions, or verbal actions, anything that he does is in the mood of being the servant of Krishna and as an act of service to Krishna, then such a person is Jivan Mukta. At every moment, like Shyamalal Prabhu asked that, Prabhuji, every single person thing that I am doing, how do I know I am doing for? So only at the stage of being a Jivan Mukta, every single act, either mental, physical or verbal that you do will be spontaneously for the pleasure of Krishna. But at our stage, even though overall we want to do it for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, many times there will be obstruction from our conditioning, which will push us to act for our own gratification. So we should not become we should not immediately jump on ourselves and tell that, oh, you are a materialist, you are calling yourself a devotee. I am not even a or I am a mixed devotee, like that. One should not come to such conclusions, because there is a very complex interplay of our conditions and our convictions. So we have to learn to discriminate them and be little kind on ourselves. We should not be very eager to brand anyone, including ourselves. Okay. I mean, out of humility we may do, but you know, it should not be out of harshness, because then it becomes very difficult, and it becomes, our progress becomes very inorganic that way. So learn to be a little kind on oneself, you know, that's what I would say. Okay. Anything else before we move ahead? Okay. If there is none, then we'll continue. So now at this point of time, Arjuna is very curious. Who is this? What are the symptoms of this Jivan Mukta? What are the symptoms of this Stita Pragya, Achala Buddhi that he is talking about? So Arjuna asks this question. So now Nishkama Karma Yoga is over. Now he is going to talk about Jnana Yoga and the qualification for a person who is ready to meditate on Brahman. Okay. What is his qualification? Okay. So Arjuna says, Stita Pragyasya Kabasha Samadhistasya Keshava Stita Dhir Kim Prabhasheta Kim Asita Vrajeta Kim. So he says, O Keshava, Samadhistasya, because in the previous verse he said that Samadha Achala Buddhistana Yogam Avapsisi. So you attain Samadhi. So he says, samadhistasya ka bhasha, bhasha description. How would you describe asthita pragya? What is the description of this person situated in samadhi? Samadhistasya ka bhasha. How would you describe a person who is situated in this samadhi? Who is called as asthita pragya here? Sthitadir kim prabhasheta. Such a Jivan Mukta, what does he speak? Kim Asita, how does he sit? Vrajeta Kim, how does he move? I mean, this might seem like a very strange question. How does he sit? How does he move? What does he speak? You know, what exactly does it mean? I mean, I remember when we were in our Brahmachari training, you know, Gaurang Priya Prabhu was teaching us Bhagavad Gita, and in the exam paper, he asked this question, how does a Stita Pragya sit? Okay. Of course, these are all metaphorical, you know, these are all not literal. There is, you know, so how does he sit means literally, so how does he speak means how does he respond to agitating situation? That is what it means. How does he sit means how does he, when sensually enticing situation, how does he keep his senses without engaging them in that? That is the meaning of how does he sit. And how does he walk means when there is a need to engage his senses, how does he engage them without getting entangled in this material world? So that is the meaning. How does he speak means, how does he respond to agitating situations? How does he sit means, how does he control his senses in a sensually stimulating situation? And how does he walk means, when there is a need to engage his senses, how does he engage? This is the question. So in the question paper, and of course there are, Krishna is going to answer these questions. So Gauranga Prabhu asked, how does a Sthita Parakya sit? And one devotee who had not studied anything, he answered it based on his generic intelligence. Okay. So he wrote, he sits with a straight back. Like that. So even though it is not literal. The question is not how does he sit, does not mean it's not literal, but it is figurative here. Yeah. So hearing about the intelligence fixed in samadhi, samadha achala buddhihi, Arjuna asks about the characters of that yogi. Stita Pragya in this verse has the same meaning as achala buddhi in the previous verse, fixed intelligence. What qualities can describe the Stita Pragya? What are the qualities of the Stita Pragya? Stita Pragyasya ka bhasha? What are the qualities of the person situated in? Actually, the terms Stita Pragya, Samadhistha, and Achala Buddhi. And Jivan Mukta. All mean the same. Stita Pragya, Samadhistha, Achala Buddhi, Jivan Mukta. What will that person say in the face of happiness and distress? Respect, disrespect, praise and condemnation. Titadir kim prabhasheta? There are four questions actually here. Okay. Ta bhasha is one, which talks about what are his qualities? How would you distinguish such a person? Kim prabhasheta? How does he speak? Okay. Here it means how does he respond to dualities? Okay. Kim asita? How does he sit? Means, how does he control his senses? And vrajeta kim? Means, how does he engage his senses? Okay. These are the four questions that he is asking. Okay. So, how does he speak means, what will the person say in the face of happiness and distress, respect, disrespect, praise and condemnation? What will he say either loudly or to himself? So, which means, how will he respond? Like that. Then, kim asita? Means, how does he sit? But what it means is, in what way will his senses remain unresponsive to the external objects? How will he keep his senses non-responsive to the external stimulus, sensual stimulus? And vrajeta kim? How does he walk? This is what the literal meaning. In what way will his senses respond to the objects? When there is a need to engage the senses, how would he engage his senses? Okay. This is the question asked by Arjuna. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions here? There is one in the chat box. Nishkama to jnana, what are the internal changes? This is a very good question. Thank you. Someone asked. When one moves from Nishkama Karma Yoga to jnana yoga, what are the internal changes? Internally, the person, his rajoguni, tamoguni, vasanas gradually become destroyed. So he overcome all his conditionings. And he no longer becomes attached to material stimulus. No amount of material enticement. He overcomes all kinds of material enticement. Good you asked this question. I am surprised because that's exactly what here Arjuna is asking. And the next section is going to describe about the internal changes of a person who moves from Nishkama Karma Yoga to Jnana Yoga. That is what is the question that Arjuna is asking here. Chita pragyasya kabasha, samadhistasya keshava, chita dirkim prabhasheta, kimasita vrajeta kim. So this is actually talking about his internal changes. What changes happened in this person? What are his qualities? What are his symptoms? That's what you're asking. What has changed in this person? How does he respond to dualities? How does he keep his senses disengaged when there is no need? And how does he engage it when there is a need? That is what he is asking. So the rest of the chapter is going to answer your question actually. But in brief, the internal changes that happens is the wiping out of material vasanas. That's what happens. Purification of the heart. That happens. Intention remains the same for a Nishkama Karma Yogi and Jnana Yogi. But the active desires, they change. They get purified. The desires within the heart, they get purified. Any other quick questions, comments before we move ahead? Okay, let's continue then. So Krishna is going to answer this question here. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Prajahati Yadakaman Sarvan Parthamano Gatan Atmanyevatmana Tushtaha Tita Pragyastadochyate. Internal change, he asked. What? So this question, this answers Ka Bhasha. What are his symptoms? Okay, what are his symptoms? Yada, when that person prajahati, jahati means to give. Pra is prakrishta rupena jahati. Means completely gives up. Pra jahati, when he completely gives up, sarvan manogatan kaman. You see, he does not say sarvan kaman prajahati. When he gives up all desires, he is not that kind of, he does not say sarvan kaman. He says sarvan manogatan kaman prajahati. Manogatan kaman means, manogatan kaman. Means desires born out of material vasanas. Because there are desires born out of our faith also. Desire to attain, desire for liberation is also a kama only in one sense. But that kama is not manogatan kaman. It is not a desire which is born out of material vasanas which are stored in our mind. Manogatan kaman. But that is a desire which is born out of my you can say value system, my faith. Right? So, sarvan yada prajahati sarvan manogatan kama. When a person completely gives up all the desires which are born out of mind, mind means desires born out of material vasanas which are stored in the mind. Yada prajahati, when he can completely gives up, which means you will never ever see him responding to a material stimulus out of a material desire at all. Hati sarvan manogatan kaman. Okay. So then how is he satisfied? Atmani eva atmana tushtaha. And he is satisfied with the soul alone by that mind. So the mind is no longer fantasizing about material enjoyment, but the mind is hankering after the satisfaction through self-realization. Okay. Atmani eva atmana tushta. Atmani means who the atma. Atmana means by the atma. So, and he is satisfied with the soul by the mind. So the mind is no longer, hankering or fantasizing after material gratification, but it is thinking about the soul always. How I can realize the soul? How I can gain gratification by meditation on the soul? Stita pragyas tadochate. This is a very clear-cut symptom of a stita pragya. Yada prajahati sarvan manogatan kaman. So manogatan kaman khat. Okay. He completely gives up all desires which are born out of mind, which means all desires born out of material vasanas which are stored in the mind. But the mind is thinking about enjoying in the association of the soul, realizing the soul. Atmana tushtaha, he is satisfied just with the soul. Stita pragya stadochate. He is called as stita pragya. Here, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, step by step, Krishna answers each of the four questions from this verse until the end of the chapter. So starting with 2.55 till 2.72, Krishna is going to answer these questions as to why Arjuna. So this verse answers the first question, what is the nature of the Jivan Mukta? He gives up all desires so that not even one desire remains for any object. Object means object of this world. For his gratification. Okay. He is able to give up these desires because they belong to the mind. Manogatan. They don't belong to the soul. They are not intrinsic quality of the soul. Therefore, sarvan manogatan kaman prajahati. If they were in the intrinsic quality of the soul, they could not be given up just as fire can never give up heat. So such a person cannot give up something which is intrinsic to the soul. Because something which is intrinsic to the soul, how can the soul give it up? Right. So he says, what is the cause for this? How is he able to give up manogatan kaman? He says, because he has satisfaction. He is satisfied by the soul whose very nature is bliss. Atmana tushtaha, in the mind. Ani, which has withdrawn from sense objects. So the mind is just relishing the bliss of the soul. The Shruti says, Yada sarve pramuchyante kamayesya hridi shvetah ata martyo mruto bhavati atra brahma samashnute. When all the desires situated in the heart are cleared away, the mortal becomes immortal and enjoys Brahman, says Katha Upanishad. Same thing. Yada sarve kama pramuchyante prajahati yad kaman. Okay. Ye asya hridi stite manogatan. Hridi shritaha means manogatan. Because mind is also in the heart. Yada sarve hridishritah kama pramuchyante yada prahati sarvan manogatan kama. Same meaning. Okay. Like that. Okay. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions before we move ahead? Anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Shyamlal.
So, Prabhuji, this stage of Stita Pragya comes in the life of devotee also?
That was the exact question Shyam Mohan Prabhu asked. Yes, yes, it does. It happens to a great extent at the stage of Nishta. Almost at the stage of Nishta, one almost reaches there, but at the stage of Ruchi, Asakti, etc., one almost definitely one reaches that stage. Yes. And at the stage of Bhava, for sure.
That means my question is, every sadhak devotee, as he's mm-hmm. progressing at some point of time, he should experience this stage.
Yes, definitely. He will. If he's sincerely practicing, he will definitely, for sure.
Right. Okay. Hare. Because...
Oh, sorry, bro. I muted you. Sorry. I muted you. Please unmute yourself, bro. Sorry. Shyamlal, bro. You can unmute yourself.
Yeah, Hari Bhav.
Yeah.
So... I mean, in the Bhagavatam also, we see so many examples. Like, you have the story of Ajamili, where the Vishnudutas come and, you know, and then he goes to do tapasya, and then after that he perfects his life. So, in that whole process, all these devotees, like, Ajamil, whether we take the example of Ajamil or we take the example of Dhruv Maharaj, you know, they all of them are going through these, like Dhruv Maharaj was a small child, he came with some other, you know, so many material aspirations for that matter. Follows his guru and then finally he meets the Lord. He's face to face with the Lord. So,
correct.
When you come to that stage, it means you are in this stage, at least when you are.
When you come face to face with the Lord, right?
Yeah, that means at least you are in this stage.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you are much more than that, actually. Much more than being Siddha Pragya, actually.
Okay.
Because Stita Pragya is a neutral stage. It's a neutral stage where there is real desires, but at the same time there is no spiritual desires also. He is just satisfied with the Atma. But when this is the path of Jnana. Through Jnana, we attain Anartha Nivritti, but there is no Artha Pravritti. There is no positive development of spiritual attachment. Jnana leaves you detached, but Jnana does not attach you in a very positive way to spiritual emotions, spiritual abode, and spiritual relationships. So, in bhakti, along with the artha prati also almost parallelly grows, which means along with detachment from material objects and material gratification, a natural desire to relish a relationship with Krishna and devotees develop.
Hey, this is a simultaneous.
When a devotee becomes thorough, this is simultaneous, almost simultaneous. Bhakti pareshanubhavo viraktir anyatra tesha trika eka kala. Bhakti pareshanubhavo virakti. Virakti is anarthana vritti. Virakti is a byproduct of anarthana vritti. And para isha anubhava is artha pravritti. Bhakti is what you practice. When you practice and progress, along with that progress in the path of devotional service, both virakti and pareshanubhava, they eka kala. It is simultaneously, it is progressing. So, but on the path of jnana, there is anartha nivritti only, there is no artha pravritti. So when a devotee comes to the stage of being jivan mukta or asthita pragya, he will not act like a jnani sthita pragya. His actions will be very different. He will, at that stage, he will manifest symptoms of ecstasy. While a jnani will be grave and not express anything. Whereas a devotee will be in direct communion with Krishna, and he will act in a significantly different way, actually. Is that relevant to?
Okay. Fine. Okay, bro. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else before we move ahead? Okay. Okay. Sonar Sakhi Mahal.
Prabhuji, that means love factor Sonar will Sakhi be added.
What, Mati?
What in like in the jnani and difference between the jnani facing Krishna and devotees facing Krishna, that love for the Lord will be that will be differentiating. I feel. Is it correct? Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So I think we have 5 minutes and maybe time for one more verse. So then, in the next verse, he says, I think this is about how does he speak, right? So, how does he speak? That is what he is going to say. Krishna is going to mention about that. How does he speak? Which means, Kim Prabhasheta? Which means, how does he respond to dualities? How does he respond to dualities? Dukkeshu anudvignamanaha, sukeshu vigataspraha, vita raga bhaya krodaha, Stitadhir Munir Uchate. He says, Dukkeshu anudvignamana. Dukkeshu, in whenever there is a very sad situation, Udvigna means agitated or grieved, grievance. Anudvigna. A is negative prefix. Anudvigna means not agitated. Manaha's mind is not agitated in suffering, or his mind is not grieving by the appearance of suffering. Sukeshu, and by the appearance of happiness or opportunity for happiness. Vigata spruha. Spruha means desire to enjoy that happiness. So when suffering appears, he is not agitated or grieved. His mind does not grieve. When there is an opportunity for enjoyment, his mind does not hanker after enjoying it. Vita raga bhaya krodha. And he is devoid of attachment, fear, and anger. Stita dhir muni ruchate. He is called a stita pragya or stita dhir muni. So he says, how does he respond to dualities? So dukkha sukha is duality. How does he respond to dukkha without getting agitated? While one who has not reached that stage, he will get very agitated. How does he respond to sukha? Vigata spruha. Sukha means opportunity for enjoyment. How does a normal person respond? He craves to enjoy that. Take that opportunity and enjoy. But this person has given up all that craving. Vita raga bhaya krodha. And one who is devoid of attachment, fear, and anger is Stitadhir Muni Ruchate. He is called as Stita Pragya. So, here, Srila Vishnu Chakradakur says, this verse and the next verse, the Lord answers the question, how does he speak? Right? His mind is disturbed by adhyatmic suffering in the form of hunger, thirst, fever, or headache, by the adibhautic suffering coming from snakes or tigers, or by the adidaivik suffering arising from extremes in wind or rain. Okay. So he is dukkeshu anudvignamana. His mind is not disturbed by adhyatmik, adibhautik, and adidaivik kleshas. When someone asks about his welfare, he says simply that this suffering is his prarabdha karma, which he must unavoidably endure. So, he sees that, it is just my prarabdha karma which I have to endure. He sees it that like that. So therefore, he is not agitated, because agitation comes when there is attachment and also when we see that the suffering that I am getting is very, I don't deserve it. When we see injustice, okay. So he is not agitated with suffering. Dukkeshu anudvignamanaha. Otherwise, internally he will think in this way, if not as. Okay. He thinks, oh, it's my prarabdha karma, no problem, no issue. Okay. And this absence of disgust at his situation is understood by the intelligent person to be the symptom of an undisturbed person or stita pragya. Okay. False indifference to suffering, the mark of the imposter, however, is detected as such by the wise man. The wise man can easily detect false indifference to suffering by an imposter. So this is, I am not affected. Such a pretender is called fallen or depraved. And opportunities for happiness, he is without desire and says to himself or others, oh, that is simply prarabdha karma, which I must tolerate. Happiness, I must tolerate. Suffering, I must tolerate. It is just, both are due to my prarabdha karma. Like that. This is the way he thinks. Okay. And the intelligent person recognizes by this his quality of being devoid of desires for happiness. These qualities are made clearer. So how this quality of dukkeshu anudvignamana akeshu vigata spruha is made even more clearer. Vita raga, he is devoid of attachment to enjoyment. Vita bhaya, he is devoid of fear from things such as tigers that want to eat him. Vita krodha, he is devoid of anger towards friends who have attacked him. Okay. So, when these kind of situations come, you can understand, oh, he is a stita pragya. So, who is an example? Jadabharat, in front of goddess Durga, did not show fear or anger towards the Chand leader who wanted to kill him. So, no Vita Raga Bayak Krodha. This was Jadabharat. So, he is a Sthita Pragya. Anyway, it's already 2 minutes past 9:30. So, I will stop here. And if there are any questions on this, we will take it next Friday. So, thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. So, we will meet again next Friday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.